so that you don't miss out on the period that has been set aside. I'm not sure whether, Minister, you are ready to take us through the bill that we're dealing with today.
I'm ready with that. Thank you very much. And thanks for having this meeting. We'll start with the citizenship amendment bill. It's very simple and straightforward. But I'll just say briefly what the amendments are meant to do and why, and then maybe comment on some of the debates in the National Assembly. First, the bill is really just supposed to make it very simple in terms of who is a citizen of South Africa, how you get that citizenship, and how you may lose it. Firstly, we are saying if one of your parents is a South African, whether you are born inside the country or outside the country, you have the right to South African citizenship, provided you are registered according to the registration of births and deaths. So it's simple. If your father or your mother is a South African and they register you according to the South African law of registration, then you are a South African, irrespective of whether your father was working in Canada, your mother was working in the U.S. at the time, but you are. But the important thing is that that baby has to be registered according to the South African law. It's not going to help at the age of 21 for that child to pitch up and say, I'm a South African citizen. They won't be a South African citizen. They have to be registered. They must be in our population register. The second one is that would be called citizen by birth. If one of your parents is a South African and they are registered. And the other one that would be citizen by birth would be if a baby is born in South Africa that has no claim to any other citizenship. This baby may be born of parents who were persecuted in their country and ran and lived here forever. And if that baby is then registered in South Africa according to our registration laws, then that baby would be a South African by birth. Then if a baby is adopted by South African parents but is not a South African, because sometimes it happens that South African parents may adopt a Russian child, let's say. So that child will also be a South African by descent. But that child will be registered and will become a South African citizen by descent. And then, how do you acquire citizenship by naturalization? We are suggesting that if a child is born in South Africa of non-South African parents, either the parents may be holding permanent residence or work permits or whatever reason that the parents are here, and the baby is born, it's registered, that child would have to be a citizen of the parents will have to use the citizenship of the parents. But if the child stays here until they are 18 or above, and they want to remain here because they know no other country, they've lived here all their lives, they can apply for naturalization and then become South African citizens. But they have to live here, because it doesn't mean that when they turn 18 and then they go somewhere else to the country of their parents, and then at 30 they decide, no, I actually lived in South Africa until I was 18. Let me apply for that citizenship. That won't work. It would have to be somebody who's living here, who says, okay, my parents are Dutch, but I don't know, my roots are not there, my roots are here, I live here, and I want to continue living here. We think it's only fair to allow that person to apply for naturalization, and if there's no impediment to that, they should be granted citizenship. Those are the amendments. Of course, people who have lived here, who are permanent residents and they've lived here for 5 years continuously as permanent residents, they can also apply for naturalization. The last thing, we are also saying that at the moment there is an anomaly in our law. We allow dual citizenship, irrespective of whether the other country allows it. So you find an abnormal situation where, let's say, a Swazi national is also a South African citizen, but the Swazi law does not allow dual citizenship. So in a way, it's not a properly legal situation. Because if one country does not allow dual citizenship, how can you be dual citizen? So we want to correct that, to say if you are a dual citizen and one of the countries does not allow it, then you either have to renounce your citizen of that other country and just be a citizen of South Africa, or we will not give you dual citizenship. We think it's only fair that way, and it makes sense that way. It doesn't make sense the other way. So that's the other amendment that we're bringing. And of course, this dual citizenship has also got a very serious economic and planning implication, because we have lots of dual citizenship from all our neighboring countries. Mm-hmm. But all our neighboring countries do not allow dual citizenship. But it means we also can't plan, because they just come for pensions, they come for grants, they come for everything. But in reality, you can't stop them, because they've been given citizenship of South Africa. And it hasn't been quite defined that, you know, you can only enjoy that citizenship if you actually permanently live in South Africa. So they live in their countries, but because they've got this dual citizenship, they then just come to enjoy the privileges, probably without the responsibilities. So government can't plan. It can't say, I've got so many kids that were born, we need so much immunization, we need so much of this and that, because we don't know who of the other dual citizens. There are people who live in Walvis Bay who come and claim. There are people who live in all the neighboring countries, basically. But all of them don't allow dual citizenship. So we now want to say, but it won't only apply to the neighboring states. It will apply to everybody. dual citizenship will have to be reciprocal. If it's not, then you must renounce one of the you must renounce your original citizenship. That's citizenship and dual citizenship. And then we come to the loss of citizenship. We are making an addition to what is there already to say that if you are a citizen by naturalization and you decide to engage in wars or in a war that South Africa is opposed to, and you go and fight under another country's flag, you will lose your citizenship. Now, there was a lot of debate in the National Assembly about this, and I've re-looked at the drafting of that part, and I do think that it does cause some ambiguity. So we are going to propose a simpler formulation that will make it very clear what the intention is. Because when I listened to the debate in the National Assembly, I went back to reread that clause, and I thought, yes, it could be a bit ambiguous. So if you allow us, after when you start debating this amongst yourselves, we could bring a formulation that will not change the intention, but that will make it clearer. That because there was a debate whether this included people who are citizens by birth, and our intention was we think citizenship by naturalization is a privilege, it's not a right. And therefore you have to abide by the policies of the country. If you decide you no longer like those policies and you go and fight a war under a different flag, then we don't see why you should keep South African citizenship. So that's the intention. But we will, if you allow us, just simplify that clause so that it's very clear that that's the intention. That's the only reason I thought I should bring the debate of the National Assembly, because there was a bit of confusion in the debate, but the intention from our side is exactly what I'm saying. And then the last thing is about the registration of children themselves. We are saying parents should register the children within 30 days. But if the parents are no longer there, then the guardian or next of kin should be allowed to register the child. But there will be regulations that regulate that. But of course, if children are registered within 30 days of birth, it's very unlikely that both parents would be deceased within that period. It's possible, but it's a very unlikely event. Most of the problems we see come about because parents don't register children, and then children, when they are adults themselves, are now trying to register themselves. And that's where the problem comes. Sometimes they try and register themselves when they already have children of their own themselves. But if we all get it into the national psyche that within 30 days babies are registered, we will not have a big problem about the registration of children. Because one or the other parent will still be there if the child is registered immediately. So that's really the end of my briefing on that one. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much, Minister. I'm not sure whether members, they want us to go exactly to the amendments that are proposed by the department so that we can understand them one by one. Okay? Do you want us to do that? Yeah, so that we understand them clearly. Yes. Can we zoom straight to those amendments? Let's start with the citizenship amendment bill.
Yes, I saw a hand. Member Faba, you'll be followed by member.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to know, can we perhaps just ask the Minister one or two questions just before we go to that? We shouldn't take a long time, just perhaps just get one or two questions.
Mm-hmm.
She can then look at it maybe and answer us after the amendments we've gone through. I don't mind about that. I'd just like to know about the immigrants that buy SA South African ID documents. For instance, we've heard about the people from Mozambique and Zimbabwe coming in and they're actually buying fraudulent IDs from officials. And I'd like to know, are you acting vigorously against this type of fraud? And how are we going about to stop this? Because we need to stop that type of thing. I'm just because of the IDs, I wouldn't know that. And then on the loss of citizenship is under another flag. I was in that debate, I also listened to it from the gallery as we are not in the National Assembly. And another one thing, as you said, which was maybe a catch-22, was if a person was doing sport, for instance, on another flag in one country, how does he come back to this country? And I mean, he can't stay in the air. If Australia is not, for instance, going to take him and South Africa is not going to take him, he can't stay in an aeroplane all the time. You know, how we'll go about sorting that out. Thank you,
Mr.
Minister.
Okay. Can we go to
the member of the Minister? Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. Honourable Minister, my question will be on the dual citizenship. To say, as and when the Act takes effect, are we then going to call all those that are having the dual citizenship to comply with this act, or we'll start with the new ones? Thank you.
Okay. Member Ranta.
I'm sorry for my hand coming up very late. Honorable Minister, I just want to ask on the naturalization point. I'm from Eastern Cape, the part that is between that borders Lesotho, Sterkspruit and Lady Grey, Aluai North. I've got many old people, very old, who stayed in South Africa for about, I don't know, for about 60 to 40 years. Are they also allowed to be naturalized? Because the majority of them, their stories differ. The majority of them are coming from the farming areas, the farmers, and they were staying there for a long time. Some of them, they don't have birth certificates. They've got only baptismal certificates of South Africa. But they got those baptismal certificates when they reached 18 years, some of them when they reached 20 years, that's when they got their baptismal certificate, not birth certificate. Some of them are born in Lesotho, some of them are born in South Africa, but they can't get an ID document. Can they be naturalized, or is it impossible to do it? Thanks, Honourable Minister.
Okay, over to you, Minister. Thank you. Maybe starting with the last one. If they've been living in South Africa all that time, they can be naturalized. What is the problem is those who live in Lesotho and only cross when they want pension or want something.
Mm-hmm.
But those who are living here, they probably have given all their energy and life to those farms where they were working.
Mm-hmm.
they should be, if they want to be naturalized, they can be naturalized. So they need to apply. You are an MP, you can help them or somebody or contact us, but they should be allowed to apply for citizenship if they so wish.
Okay.
And then coming to the question of the other flag. The other flag only relates to the war, not to sport.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Only if you go and fight.
Yeah,
or anywhere under a different flag, fight a war that South Africa is not part of. Sports is not a problem. So that's the only. And that country would have accepted you because they can't have a soldier fighting under its flag if they don't want that person. So clearly you can't then argue that you have nowhere to go. You have somewhere to go. But if you go and play and you're playing somewhere, it's not a problem. Yeah. Because war has got implications for the security of the country. Sports is a sport. So we're not just saying we punish anyone who participates in anything in another country, no. We're looking at what implications that might have. So that's the only thing, is when you go, the other flag, fighting the war under a different flag other than South Africa. Then the... You had another question? Was it the only one?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Sorry, yes, I actually made a mess by saying on sport because I know I'm wrong. It was about fighting. I'm sorry about that, Madam Minister, but the question still remains, like, if a person, for instance, I know a lot of these ex-policemen that go to Iraq to go and make money there, for instance,
yes.
You know, and they go for some American security company or something and they go as soldiers or whatever, under that flag, the problem still remains, where does he fit now, because he won't get the
well,
American
citizenship. If he is naturalized, he can go back to his original country.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is about people who are naturalized, who are not South Africans by birth.
Mm.
So if he is naturalized, if he came from the U.S. anyway and was naturalized in South Africa and then decides he wants to go and fight there, he should just go back there. He can still come to South Africa, but not as a citizen anymore. I mean, it's not like he will be a prohibited immigrant or anything, but he will not be a citizen of South Africa anymore. But if I go and fight, then the government will find other ways of punishing me because I have nowhere else to go. This is my only country, even though, I mean, you can argue that the country that you were fighting for can take you. But this law does not go that far. It just talks about those who are naturalized.
Thank you,
ma'am. Okay. This question is a slightly difficult one, but on the other hand, it's not, because those people knew when they applied for dual citizenship that their countries do not allow it.
Mm-hmm.
So they were doing something illegal in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So we just need to remind them. And if they want to be South African citizens, then they renounce the other country's citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't want to renounce that citizenship, we just stop ours.
Yeah, just another follow-up also. I'm not sure whether you have mentioned it in your presentation, Minister, the issue of marriages where there are people who marry South Africans because they want to become citizens of South Africa. If you can also address that, where does it fall under these three categories? Member Rantu and Minister.
Thanks, Honourable Minister. Honourable Minister, I missed your imbizo in Elliot Dale because I did not know, but I felt so sorry for not being part of the Imbizo in Elliot Dale. I was in Eastern Cape last week. And you know, one thing that I wanted to point out is the problem with our area managers. We've recently changed the area manager in my constituency. The one who left gave us another version of this, gave the people the other version of naturalization. I don't know the new one, what is she going to say. I wanted to suggest that if the minister or whoever, the minister can send people down to the province. We've got forums there that are already in place in the province. I'm not sure has it been done or not done yet to collect all the area managers and give them this information, because I'm not always there in my constituency. I only go there on Mondays or on Fridays when I'm available. When I got there, there's a lot of confusion that is happening there. As a result, the people from Lesotho are taking advantage of that confusion, because the area managers are saying this and the other one is saying that one. The opposite information, giving the opposite information. Because this, I'm saying this because in the event of having a baptismal certificate, the one said they must not come with their baptismal certificate that were done when they were 18 years. They must go back and ask the church ministers to rewrite their baptismal certificate, backdating it to 5 years when they were 5 years, and they were not baptized on their fifth year. They were baptized on their 18th and 20th year. So he is not going to write them to make EID documents for them. And when I came in, I said, no, man, that is fraudulent to me when I see it. It's fraudulent. It cannot be done. Let them use this and go forward and see if there are predicaments that they are encountering. Maybe they will consult their head office about this situation. But it was like, I'm coming with my MP information, MP things, and we ended up fighting like with words. So could the minister please do something for us, especially in that area, because there are a lot of things that are happening that are illegal in that area where I stay. Thank you.
You know, the reason we've started all those forums that you're talking about is precisely to assist us to deal with issues like that. Because you said earlier, there are people who have been there living 25 years, 30 years. The person sitting in the office does not know that, cannot know whether the person arrived in South Africa that morning or has been living here for 30 years. Those forums are there to then assist to say, these people we know, they've been here for this long, and therefore we can vouch for them as the forum. The forum can make investigations and ascertain that that's the case. And if the forum says that to us, we will obviously take their word for it. It's true that at Home Affairs sometimes there is confusion, but sometimes the confusion is deliberate. It's because people want to bend the law and get what they want. Sometimes the rules have been made stricter to try and avoid that, but in the end the people who suffer are the innocent, ordinary people. That's why we've come with this dual thing that, yes, we'll have regulations, but we will have people, reliable people on the ground who will be able to assist us to clear some of the things that are not clear. So we met with the forum on all the forums of the Eastern Cape, on the 18th, they are having their own workshop to look at some of these issues and see how, as a forum, they think they can work and assist us. And obviously, we will take their word. We can take your word as well. But the person in the office finds themselves in a difficulty in differentiating people who are citizens, people who are not, because that person may not have even lived there themselves. So I think you and the forum should be at the forefront of sifting who are these people that you are talking about, who are entitled to naturalization, who've been there for 20, 30 years, who've been there all their lives. Those we will take irrespective of what their rules are, because we may say they must bring a school certificate. Some of them never even went to school. We may say they must bring baptismal certificate. Some of them are not baptized. We've found in doing this work, in this campaign. So those are not adequate when you say they must bring a birth certificate or a school. Sometimes they don't have either, and they are still genuinely what they say they are. So that's why we now have come into the issue of forums. Because the forum is in the community. Even for South Africans, there are South Africans who are 30, 40, who have no birth certificate, who have no ID. So the forum is able to say, umtakazi bani lo, utatomkhulu wakhe ungcwatshwe phaya. Nali thuna lakhe siyamazi noma ngabe kakanasicucu, but we know. So when the forum says that, thina we have to comply, because they know the people in the community better than we do. So I'm sorry that you had to fight with our officials. Sometimes it's still like that. But they are improving in many places. The Eastern Cape seem to be the most stubborn, generally. I don't know why, maybe Eastern Cape and Limpopo. I think it's also the Bantustan problems, because even the chief was complaining about the same thing when we were there. But we are also planning to really tackle that problem and to also go to the Eastern Cape and try and deal with that. And this law will make it easier for those people. But even now, even before this amendment, they are entitled to naturalization. But this law will make it easier, because if you turn 18 and you were born here, even if your parents were not South African, you can make a choice to apply for naturalization. But it's important that your parents register your birth. Going forward, it's going to be easier, but we still have to solve the existing problems. The question of foreigners, the baby that is born of a South African parent is a South African, irrespective of whether the circumstance is their parents. But if one of your parents is a South African and they are registered, they are a South African. The problem comes to what the other parent, who's not a South African, who was probably just doing that in order to become a South African and did not mean anything further than that. But that, the law, in the end, it doesn't matter what law you put in place. It will be up to us, citizens, because it doesn't matter what you say. At the end of the day, if we allow ourselves to be bought, because these people actually, most of them, they don't even pretend. They pay. So that's why, for instance, in the other amendment that we are going to discuss, the registration of beds, that's why we are also bringing an unusual amendment to say if a baby is registered under one father and then later you come and change the father, you have to produce paternity proof. It's partly because of what you are saying, because now they don't even make women pregnant. They just rent these babies. They come to you and they say, okay, can you change the father at Home Affairs and say it's me? And maybe both parents agree. They say, we'll give you 100,000 rand. They say it's me, and then later you can also change again. So then the woman comes and says, no, I said this is the father, now no, it's no longer, that's now the father. Now at Home Affairs, how are we supposed to know who is the real father? And that's why we are saying now, if you will take your word for it, for the first father, but when you come with an alternate father, show us proof. Yeah. But also we are making it a bit stricter in the other law. You'll find that in the immigration laws, or if you were a relative, now if you have made a South African woman pregnant, or you've been made pregnant by a South African man, you are classified as a relative. Or if you are married, then you are a spouse. Now, there was a thing that said you automatically have a right to visit as a relative for 2 years. Now, I don't understand how anyone can come here as a tourist and then suddenly change their status as a tourist and now they are a relative and now they can stay for 2 years. We are saying you can't change your status like that. Even if you have fallen in love, go back home, sort yourself out. Apply to come and visit, a short visit, because what type of a person visits for 2 years? Then if you want to come and live permanently and you have sorted yourself out, you are married, you are whatever, then that we can avoid. You will have to then be allowed. But what is happening now, people just get a visitor's permit and they fall in love within 30 days. Now they change, they want a relative permit or something because now they have this partner or relationship. So we're just tightening some of those things. But at the end of the day, really, it depends on citizens. No matter what you can do with the law, if people do not understand the value of citizenship and the value of their own lives and the children that they are going to bring just so that somebody can become a citizen, if we don't understand all that, no amount of laws can assist. But we are assisting to some extent with the laws as well. Thank you.
No, Chairperson, I think I'm partly covered, but I will be covered after the registration of birth.
I think also.
Okay. I'll come back after I registration of birth.
Okay. Any other questions, members?
No, it's not a question. I think that everything is clear, yes. But my problem, that's the Department of Home Affairs, the communication is in Pretoria.
is not in provinces. We need sometimes the minister, if possible, to establish their offices to the provinces for outreach program, because our people, now is the time to educate our people about these laws of our land. That's my suggestion. Not for.
Okay, now that she's touching, then let me come back.
Mm-hmm.
I was partially covered by Member Rancho in terms of raising the forums, Zimbizos, and whatever. It's on the registration of birth. I'm from Gauteng, and you know everybody goes to...
Yeah.
No, I was picked by him.
No, no, no. Okay, let's allow the presentation first.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
If the questions are finished, then we can then go to the next one. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to establish from members, whether they are satisfied with this first presentation that has just been made, so that we can move to the next one and allow the minister to take us through. Over to you.
With the registration of the thank you. With the registration of beds, it's also just simple amendments. I touched on one of them just earlier about who registers the child, because there's been lots of problems with that. But as I say, ideally, if we keep to the law, because the law says that the baby must be registered within 30 days of birth. If we keep to the law, those problems will be less. But whilst we have these problems, we have to then take into account that there are people who do not have parents but who still need birth certificates.
Mm-hmm.
So we're now saying a legal guardian or a next of kin. Next of kin can be any relative that is looking after the child or that is a relative of that person. Legal guardian could be somebody who's foster or who's a social worker in an orphanage or whatever. Then they would be allowed to register that birth. But the regulations will be some procedure on how that can be done. We also are aware that there are abandoned children, and that becomes a big problem because you don't even know who this child is. But you can then say they will not be registered. So the social workers on the whole, because they are the ones who tend to be dealing with the abandoned children. Even now, they are the ones who are registering the births of those children. Though sometimes it causes problems because they have to then choose the name and the surname of the child. I know in one instance, the social workers just decided that all the children in this orphanage, because the orphanage is named after a particular person, they will just give the surname of that person. And then that family became a bit concerned that now they are having this whole group of kids who are coming through that orphanage. They are all given the same surname. But it's something that's very difficult to resolve. But mainly the abandoned children would be under the care of social workers, and then they are the ones who can register them. And we also, in terms of funerals, for instance,
before I get to that, we talked about citizenship of an adopted child. We also are amending the registration of a birth of an adopted child, because it may need much more care than, because there may be things that maybe the child does not know and need not know. So we are making special provision for the adoption of an for the registration of an adopted child. And then for the registration of death, obviously the relatives are the first people who are allowed to register a death. But increasingly people are using undertakers. And they just want the undertakers to do everything. So what we are saying is that is fine, but then the undertakers must be registered. Because we found that there are some fly-by-night undertakers who do things, register death. Now when the family wants something or something is wrong, we can't find this undertaker who came to register the death. Some of the fraudulent deaths that are registered for insurance purposes. So now we're saying it's fine if families want the undertaker to handle everything. It's fine, but we must have a registration of undertakers, and only those who are registered will then be allowed to register death. So we think it's simple. And then we are also just putting something to align the bill with the, what you call, the promotion of information. So that, because sometimes information about deaths, about births, about marriages, sometimes it's private and confidential information. We just want to be sure that whilst we comply with the access to information, we also comply with the privacy that people want about such information. It's a very small, it's just few amendments. We can go through them one by one, but those are the major areas where we are changing things and where we think they should be attention. From the debates in the General Assembly, there was no problem with this particular one as such.
Okay, thank you very much, Minister. Yes, Member Ranto, Member Mube. Yes.
Thanks, Chairperson. Honourable Minister, I want first to concur with what Member Prince Zulu said, that, you know, when I raised this issue of not having EMEC of Home Affairs in the provinces, and they said, would you like to be one?
And you said no.
I said yes. the main purpose that made me to say yes, I wanted to work with you. Honourable Minister, I'm not sure, am I going back to the citizenship or to the death registration? Because I've already said the problem that I have in my area. I've got so many problems in that area, ne? There are old people that would say they were born in South Africa and their mothers married a Lesotho husband, moving with them from South Africa to Lesotho while they were still young, and they come back. When they come back, they by enter these fingerprints for IDs, then the fingerprints take them back to Lesotho, because when maybe this woman married a very clever person in Lesotho while she was pregnant by a very dumb South African who did not register the child. So there, when they go there, they register the child as a Lesotho person. Eh? So it's like having a child out of wedlock. Eh? And when you get married to somebody else, that child does not want to be called Umnosin. He wants to be called Umnakwan, because he knows that I'm not Umnosin, I'm Umnakwan, but I grew up at the family among Umnosin. But I am Umnakwan at the end of the day. So that's what is happening. He's a South African, but he grew up at Lesotho and got his citizenship of Lesotho. And he wants to come, he wants to come back to South Africa. When he comes back to South Africa, at a later stage, he registered, they did register in South Africa, and the fingerprint said, no, you are from Lesotho. You are a Lesotho citizen. And then that person happened to not having EID. And then the same person dies. I just want to know, when a person is dead, you just register death certificate without EID number or the original death certificate, or you because he is already dead, there's no point of registering that person. You just take him to the undertakers, and the undertakers just put them underground without a registration, because I've got a case who is like that. A person who was not registered as a South African, he did not take even EID at Lesotho, and wapup at the age of 75 years. He died. I don't know how did they... I was so afraid of the situation, I did not really know. He was buried, I'm sure, some 2 weeks ago. I don't know how did they bury that person. I just wanted to know the procedures that should be followed.
Thanks, Robert Chatterson.
As I said, I was pricked by the oncoming MSC. In terms of raising the forums that are aimed at helping and prohibiting whatever wrongs that are happening, I think that's one area of trying to turn around horror affairs to be home affairs. So I was also agreeing with the Prince here in terms of the radical advocacy campaign that has to be stepped up. For instance, I was a teacher in Gauteng, and you will find at grade 6 children or learners coming in Gauteng and say, I was staying with my grandmother or grandfather, she's now dead, I don't have parents, I don't have a birth certificate, I don't have anything. And you end up registering that child at school, but also there will be a problem of getting to grade 12 with the question of the ID. I think the whole question of the guardians or legal guardians or whoever is next of kin, in terms of knowing the processes and procedures, so that the people that are either coming from other countries, other than Lesotho, you have the Mhlabia Lingana, all those borders, Limpopo, and all those things. So even if they're coming from there, or just legitimate South Africans, but coming from the deep rural areas, with these imbizos, I think it will help. But also the whole question of what you said last year, that you also put these programs into schools. I think also churches
to say that the child is to be registered within 30 days and late registration and all those things. It will help as the child gets grows. But also, as a resident of Gauteng, you also have the lot of informal settlement. Where when you go there, they don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they say they don't have any legal document because they're not South Africans. But some of them, they are South Africans, but because they're coming from deep rural, then poverty makes them to be in Gauteng. So the whole question of saying at the end you get the protest and then you say let's prioritize this area has been protesting, let's give them houses and all those things. But also there's this thing of the IDs or legal documents. So I'm not sure in your doesn't come here, it's another problem that you face this and come up with a strategy of how do you deal with it. Thanks.
Thank you. In terms of registration of deaths, there are two, well, the main reason for registering a death is to make sure that we also know so that we can take the person, we can declare the person dead in the population register.
Mm-hmm.
The other one, obviously, is to facilitate the burial.
Mm.
Now, if somebody is in our population register, we register the death, we give them a certificate. If they are not in our register, because even foreigners die, even people who are visiting die, if they come to us, we still do write a death certificate, handwritten. It doesn't have to be recorded in our population register because they are not in our population register, but it allows them to be buried. And it's just evidence that they did die and they died here and yeah. So that's how we deal with it if somebody is not a citizen. And then the question of the communication I think is very important. Whether we do it province by province or whether we allocate people at national who will be working with the provinces, I think that's something we should look at. But it's something ourselves we have commented on because even this registration of children in hospitals, some mothers go in and out of the hospital without knowing that they can actually register the baby at the hospital. Then you find them in the queue, and when you ask them, which hospital did you deliver at, they tell you. You say, but you could have registered the baby there whilst you are in the hospital, and they'll say they don't know. So we have realized that our communication is not up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to be making an effort, and we will look at the various methods to make sure that we are able to get the information to every person. The question of the informal settlements and children whose relatives, whose parents die, I think we've, as I say, we are catering for that. But for them, for the people who come, like in the informal settlements, needing houses, but who have nothing, that's where it becomes difficult because there will be South Africans amongst them, but probably the majority may not be.
Mm.
For instance, in this campaign that we have now of registering Zimbabweans who are here in South Africa, we have also said those who have acquired documents, South African documents, fraudulently must return them. We will give them amnesty if they return them voluntarily.
Mm-hmm.
But if we find them, then that's a different story. But if they voluntarily bring them back. But we found that it's, some of them, it's very complex. They are willing to bring them, but they've acquired property.
Mm.
They, and so when they bring them, we have to make sure that have they acquired a passport as well, firearms, property, in which case they have to then do affidavits and all that, and then the those things that they are not entitled to, if they are not South Africans, should be taken away. But those that they are entitled to, they will keep, but they will have to then, we should have assist them with letters to say this is the same person, but is a Zimbabwean. And we are going to do that with other countries as well. We are just starting with Zimbabweans. And we think it's important also because we expect every South African to be known that they exist. But we just leave other people to come into the country and we don't know who they are, what they are doing, where they are, except if they voluntarily come and register. So we are saying they must come and register. We should know who everyone is. But where, obviously, if there is no reason for them to be in South Africa, then they should go back home. But if they are working or schooling or doing some business, it's fine, they'll be given permits according to what they are doing. But they must go back to their own documents and bring back our documents. And it's actually amazing how many are willing to bring them back. But in the laws, in the immigration law, which we're not discussing today, we're also toughening the sentences for people who come from outside and acquire our citizenship fraudulently. Because before, the magistrates were, up to now, let me not say before, they just give them a suspended sentence, warning, they say, you stole an ID, an ID is cheap. They look at monetary value, but don't look at the implications to the country. So we are bringing amendments there to just make sure that the legal fraternity is aware that this is a very serious matter. So I think I've answered.
Any other questions, members? So this second one, bill amendments are very clear to all of us.
Right.
Happy with them. So, Minister, I think this brings us to an end of our today's meeting. But I understand that we still have to meet on two other bills that have to be tabled before the committee. And thanks very much for the briefing. And if there are any more questions that will come up later after members have digested the presentation, we will bring them in the next meeting.
Okay.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.